Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
If you or a loved one have been a victim of domestic violence, help is available. Speak with someone today. You can contact the National Domestic Violence Hotline 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available in English, Spanish, and over 200 languages through Interpretation Service. You can dial them at 1-800-799-7233. Again, that's 1-800-799-7233. Or text BEGIN, that's BEGIN, to 88788. WWE Universe, the D-Loop Podcast is now a brand affiliate of WWE Shop with Fanatics. Get all of your latest merchandise from your favorite WWE superstars and wear them proud. So if it's CM Punk, the American Nightmare Cody Rhodes, L.A. Knight, the Tribal Chief Roman Reigns, or legends like The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and Bret the Hitman Hart, again, you can get all of your favorite merchandise over at wrestling.thedlupodcast.com. Again, that's wrestling.thedlupodcast.com to get all of your favorite merchandise at WWE Shop with Fanatics. This podcast is a Believe Network and Luciete production.
Welcome to another edition of the D-League Podcast, brought to you by Believe Network. I'm your host, Derek T. Lewis, and I hope the week is treating you all wonderfully. I do want to apologize for last week for no show being on last Thursday, but if you guys remember the week before, you know, I did the King of the Ring, King and Queen of the Ring recap show, and then the very next day I did a bonus episode to promote ECWA Summercade, which, by the way, was absolutely awesome event that I had an opportunity to work, you know, of course, doing my ring announcer thing. And yes, indeed, Darius Carter did retain the ECWA Heavyweight Championship in a very hard-fought match against Eric Martin. And of course, they have an event coming up in Newark, Delaware on August 3rd for Night of Legends. It's going to be dedicated to Jim Kettner's ECWA, when, you know, the longtime promoter of the original ECWA, and it's going to be all the legends that's going to be there. Tickets are on sale now at ecwawrestling.com. But this week's episode, we're going to pivot a little bit. I don't know if you guys remember, you know, when I first started the D-Loop podcast, you know, it was a mix of everything, you know, music, you know, film and television, pro wrestling, sports, and I kind of shifted towards a little bit more pro wrestling to really get that content out there. But, you know, we're bringing it back to basics, and I'm bringing, you know, artists on again, as well as actors, actresses, models, you name it. You know, if you got something going on out there, you know, you're more than welcome to come on to the D-Loop podcast, you know, to be interviewed. But, you know, this week, you know, I have right now a social media sensation, hip-hop recording artist, your fave Granny. And I came across her last summer when her song Making It Out the Hood went viral. I mean, it really went viral. And I think a few months back, you know, her and I actually crossed paths. And, you know, I hit her up about wanting to be on the D-Loop podcast, and she definitely agreed to do it. And we talk about everything, you know, early life, very touching story, and really what influenced her to get into music and what led her to becoming a recording artist. And we talk about that and so much more. And let's not wait any longer. My interview with the one and only your fave Granny starts right now. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure to introduce to you social media star, recording artist that has her latest single, Keeping It Real, on all platforms you can stream. It's the one and only, your fave Granny. Thank you so much for joining us at the D-Loop Podcast. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
The plaque, I said, the pleasure's all mine. I appreciate that. So, again, we crossed paths a few months ago, you know, just on, you know, social media. But I actually came across you last year when your song Making It Out the Hood went viral. And I'm just like, oh my God. I said, this is, I mean, I understood the lyrics and everything. And we're going to get to that later on in the interview. But I want to talk about the beginning, and I want to talk about life growing up in Norfolk, Virginia. So talk about life growing up in Norfolk.
So So I was put in foster care when I was five.
Okay.
And so I was in and out of different foster homes. When I turned 10, I started running away. So I was literally in the streets my whole life until I was 18. Well, even after 18, I was in the streets. But so when people say, where are you from? How did you grow up? It's literally the hardest thing for me to answer because I didn't grow up in any specific place, the streets. How was I raised? By the streets. So I don't even know like how I grew up. This shit was rough, but you know, I'm a soldier, I'm a survivor, and I made it through all the shit that I had to go through.
I hear you. I hear you there. So during those years, who had the biggest impact on you growing up?
I didn't have any role models. I did not. You know, it was just about survival for me.
Okay.
Like real life survival. So I didn't have anybody to look up to because I started running away so young. You know, and I wasn't never really in particular places long enough before I ran away again to build relationships to have a role model.
Got it. So looking back at that time, what was the turning point in saying, okay, we're going to go in this direction now to get things on track?
Oh, that wasn't until late adult.
Okay.
That wasn't until probably when I was about 30.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely not.
I mean, I ain't got no shame in my life. You know, it is.
Right.
It was held to me. I believe everything happens for a reason. I believe you're here interviewing me for a reason. Like we cross paths for a reason. So
agreed.
Everything happens for a reason. So like, I don't never want pity, none of that shit, because it's totally made me very, very strong. I don't depend on nobody for anything. And it made me who I am.
And it's good to hear, because I think a lot of times people, and again, there's circumstances, right? And they're saying, okay, I'm just going to just let it be. But it takes a very strong individual, like you said, you know, to pull yourself up and get going. And that's a huge, huge, you know, reflection on the type of person that you are. And again, the person that you are today. Now, what's something that people would be surprised to know about you?
I guess I'm going to say I really do live in the hood. People think, and I get comments all the time, you don't live in the hood, you in the suburbs. I wish I was in the suburbs. My whole goal to making music is to get enough money to go to the suburbs.
Right. I mean,
ultimately, that's the goal. I'm really out here, like still, you know, even through all these years, I'm still here. I lived in this one, well, not this particular apartment, but one right up the street in the same complex for 20 years, Section 8. You know what I mean? I left. I finally got like what I thought was a decent job, you know, and moved out because the whole goal was to always be independent and pay regular rent and not have to depend on the government to pay my rent and all that.
Right.
I moved out. And then 3 years later, I'm back here again, because I didn't realize after being in the system my whole life that regular rent goes up like $50, $75 a whop. So
Right.
And then when it went up like that 3 years later, I can't afford it no more. So now, you know, I'd come back. So here I am, still trying though. I'm still trying.
And you, and like I said, you're on your way. You're definitely on your way. Now, you told me that, you know, you had a love for music going way back when, you know, artists like the Shy Lights, you know, the Whispers, Earth, Wind & Fire, Johnny Guitar Watson, Marvin Gaye, the OJs, and many others. So what was it about those specific artists that drew you to them? And if you could name some of those records, that some of those songs that said, even now, if you was to hear it, you'd be like, ah, that's my jam. What was it? What drew you to them?
So we're going to go back to when I started running away at 10 years old. Mm-hmm. I was the very first time I ran away. I ended up in a project called Tidewater Park in Norfolk. Mm-hmm. And I was around Black people. I mean, that's what was being listened to. And that's who welcomed their house to me. That's who showed me love. And so I adopted the culture at a very early age. Way before I could adopt any white music. I could probably name one or two songs of a white artist, but just because that wasn't what I was around.
Right.
And so that's how I ended up, you know, listening to what I listened to, which was back then R&B, rap didn't exist.
Right. We're talking about, we just celebrated the 50th anniversary of hip hop, you know, last year. So it's just crazy to think that people thought that hip hop was only going to be a fad. And now right. It's not just a genre, it's a culture. You know what I mean? So
and a subculture.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So as time was moving forward, you know, and hip hop began to grow, what were some of the early hip hop artists that you were a fan of during that time?
MC Light. I love I'm trying to think of some groups. You caught me off guard. I can't even think of anything. I mean, A Tribe Called Quest.
Mm-hmm.
Nice and Smooth. I don't know. You got me off guard. But all of it. It was just like, it was, I don't know. It's a whole culture. I'm having flashbacks. It's just a whole thing. You know, Queen Latifah, Salt and Pepper. What ain't Pepper, but
Pepper, yeah.
Oh yeah. I listened to all that.
Yeah, just thinking about during those times, because I'm a lot older than you think. And I remember when Ladies First came out by Queen Latifah. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And she was, it was that women empowerment.
Ladies first.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And MC Light had one of the most iconic verses in that song, Self-Destruction, back in the day with KRS-One. Mm. So I love the fact that the evolution of the genre went global when no one thought it would. But if there was an artist back then that you could live by, if you were living vicariously through and saying, hey, that's my girl right there, that's my guy, who would that artist be? And that one that you live vicariously through?
I mean, I always say that DMX is like my idol.
Mm, rest in peace, X, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so just his realism. He kept it 100 all the time.
Right.
And he's powerful, man. You could hear him talk, and it's mm-hmm. just powerful. You know, you gonna shut up and listen to what he's saying, no matter what it is, because his voice and his feelings and his authenticity, it all came through with whatever he was talking about.
Yeah, I admired that about him. Was he was always himself. Like there was no on or off button. Who you got is who you, that was DMX. Yep. 25/8/366. That was him. Yep. But I remember when, was it 98, when he had those two albums come out, which was unprecedented at that time, and were uber successful. Like that let me, yeah, man, that's what I mean. Like it was amazing of how he changed the game. It was just his aggression, but yeah. It was that, you know what I mean? Like it was, yeah. You felt it, even whether it's at a concert, or even if you listen to it on the radio, like you felt him through his music, and he is so missed by so many of us.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
I actually posted a video today of him on the slingshot, that ride slingshot. I posted that on my Instagram, and just reading the comments in that, he touched a lot of lives.
He did, yeah.
So it's cool that people are like voicing that they miss him and how he was an icon and all that. So that's cool.
Every Christmas, that video surfaces every year when he was singing Jingle Bells.
Okay.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
And he was like, come on.
It was, but
I'm just saying, like, that just goes to show you, like, that's, and I say that that's the only version of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer that matters now is that one, because it's DMX that did it. You know? That's so funny. So you said you always wanted to be in the music industry more as an A&R and not so much as an artist. Was there any particular reason why you wanted to shy away from the artist part and more doing behind the scenes?
So I don't have a lot of recollection of my childhood and growing up. But I do remember laying in front of the stereo and always having a headset on or a boombox or something. I was always listening to music. I never anticipated, thought about, desired to do music personally. But in my heart, I just felt like that's what I was supposed to be doing. It's like something affiliated with music. And then I said A&R, you know, because I feel like I'm a good talent scout. I didn't start rapping, writing, or none of that until 3 years ago. Like, this is all brand new. I didn't do nothing until 3 years ago, till March 2021, my first song came out.
Well, that's incredible. And that's what I was going to get next. I was going to talk about that next. You know, you said at age 56 is when you made the decision to become a recording artist. So talk about what led you to saying, you know what, I'm going to put the pen, the pad to work, and I'm going to get into this music thing. What was it that led you to doing that?
TikTok.
Really? Talk about it.
So on TikTok, and Musical.ly before TikTok took over, I always just did like lip sync. And I would lip sync, of course, rap and R&B. And I don't know, people just randomly started calling me Granny for starters. And then they was just like, hey, Granny, you know, you need to do your own music. And I'm like saying, bro, I don't know how to do, like, I don't know how to write. I don't know how to rap. I don't know how to do none of that. I can lip sync it. Y'all getting confused watching me do this, because I am lip syncing. Because I can like put on a song, I know the lyrics to just about everything. Like, I don't know why, but that stays.
Right.
But they was just like, you know, do your own music. And then, you know, over the course of some months, people in real life were like, you ever thought about doing your own music? You know, and then I'm like, no. And then one night, I work for the school system. So over summer break, I was like, you know, I got more time on my hands. So it was like
for sure,
3 o'clock in the morning. And I just started thinking, like, you know, rap is storytelling. And I've lived a life. So why don't I just start writing this song from birth and write it and tell the story? And so the song, it goes, everything started in the womb. Before I was born, I was doomed. I was five, mama sent me to the state. Since then, new love was fake. And just, you know, it literally, I started from birth. And that song's called Slinging That Heat. And I wrote that song in 20 minutes. Which was crazy, because I was like, it's like 3:20 in the morning. And I'm like, damn, I ain't got nobody to call. You know, I was like,
Right.
So then the next thing was to find out, like, now what do I do with, like, how do I get it to music? Where do I go? Who do I talk to? I don't want to go somewhere and then they're like, yeah, this shit is lit, and it ain't. You know, if it's whack, to me it's lit, you know, but in real life it might be whack. So I talked to a couple people and they gave me a couple different studios. And the first one I called a couple, and then I called Good People Studio. told them just that. Look, they already actually knew who I was because I had a large following on TikTok at that time.
Okay.
And they was like, yeah, we know who you are. And I'm like, well, I want to do a song. I don't know really what to do. I don't want to come in there and I'm working with somebody. And they're like, yeah, it's lit. And it ain't. I need somebody to be honest with me because that's the only way I can grow.
Right.
And so they was
like, the thought process.
Yeah. Like, you're not going to hurt my feelings. Don't think you're going to hurt my feelings because you're not.
Right.
And so set up an appointment, went in there, said it again, because when I talk, I'm very specific. And when I leave and finish the conversation, you're not going to be confused about what I said. You know
exactly.
What I'm very direct. And I told him, and he was like, yeah, let's do it. So I was like, all right. And so we did it. That particular beat came from this dude in India, man. He sold me the beat for $10, bro. And the song goes hard. The beat is hard. It's crazy.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. The only thing is, like, while I liked that beat, he mm-hmm. couldn't ever match it again. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Like the other beats, I bought other beats from him just because I know $10 probably went a long way there.
For sure.
But it was nothing I could really use because it had like that Asian, I don't know, vibe to it that I just wasn't feeling for rap music. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, but you know, it was cool for the first song. It worked and it did really well in streams. So that's where it all began.
Wow. So talk about some of the adversity you face, you know, being a brand new artist and just trying to just get yourself going during that time.
So the problem, I guess, initially was I was funny. People thought it was funny. And mm-hmm. And I would get laughing emoji and fire flames a lot. And I took it personal initially and was like, mm-hmm. like they'd be like laughing. And I'm like, what are you laughing at? Like, what's funny?
Right.
Because I'm being dead serious. Like what's funny? And right, I was like offended. And it was happening a lot. And then I was just like, you know what? And it gave me mixed feelings, like, am I good or am I not good? Like, why are they laughing? I don't know how to take it.
And, right.
And so it was just like, I went into third person and, you know, going through my phone, acting like I'm someone else and running across one of my videos or mm-hmm. one of my posts or something like that. And it was funny. Like, I ain't bust out laughing or nothing, but I got it. I get it. This is not your norm. You know, I don't fit the profile of a rapper by any means in age, color, or size. So I'm throwing everybody off at this point. And they, too, obviously don't know how to take it. You know, they don't know if I'm being serious or if I'm being funny. And that was the reason for the laughing emoji and the fire flame. Like, they liked it, but it was funny. So I came when I did the third person thing, that's when I was like, eventually they gonna see. And then when Making It Out the Hood went crazy, I think that's when people really took me serious. I still get laughing emojis sometimes by the few people who haven't seen me yet because mm-hmm. that went international. But yeah, so yeah.
Speaking of that record.
I think I'm taking a little more serious now.
Yeah.
Although, yeah, I'm taking more serious now than I was then.
This episode of the DLU podcast is brought to you by Goalie Nutrition. As someone who's used Goalie for quite some time, I can tell you that they're not only very good, but they're very beneficial. My favorite are the Super Green Gummies. The Super Green Gummies are uniquely crafted with a spectrum of essential nutrients such as vitamins A, B12, folic acid, and theamine. It supports a healthy liver function, healthy nervous and immune system, digestive health, a boost to your metabolism, and overall health and well-being. There are no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or colors from artificial sources. They're vegan-friendly, gluten-free, and gelatin-free. All loyal listeners of the DLU podcast get a special 10% discount at checkout. Go to goalie.com, use promo code DLEW. That's goalie.com, use promo code DLEW.
Now's the time to save 30% on wedding jewelry, only on BlueNile.com. Make sure your wedding ring is the one with your pick of diamond and lab-grown diamond bands, all hand-finished and graded for excellence. Or surprise her with something blue she'll love for life, like a stunning pair of sapphire earrings. Blue Nile's jewelry experts are available 24/7 to help, from fit questions to style advice. Right now, get up to 30% off at BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
And I was going to talk about making it out the hood because, like I said, that's when I came across you. I think it may have been on TikTok. Somebody, I think, had reposted it on there. And I'm like, wait a minute. And first of all, because what drew me in was the approach, the aggression in the beginning, and the lyrical content, because I'm like, okay, I understand everything this woman is saying. Okay. Kudos. Because a lot of times, and I mean, this is no shade, no hate on the young world and all the things that's going on now. But I think the era that I grew up in, you know, it was really all about the science, about the lyrical delivery, the content and all that stuff. That's what I grew up on. So when I saw the video kind of reminded me of Dead Presidents by Jay-Z, because it was really him telling the story about how not to get caught out there in the street, mm-hmm. not do what you're supposed to be doing. And he was talking to a dude telling him, don't do this. That was the kind of the theme of the music video. And then there's you talking to a young dude about, you know, how to make it out the hood. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I saw the parallels and they were very, very similar. So talk about making that music video and the whole collaboration behind that, because I really enjoyed it as a viewer and also as a recording artist myself. Okay. I really, really enjoyed that. So let's talk about that a little bit and how that all came to be.
I mean, honestly, okay, so let me just start by saying first, when I write my music, mm-hmm. I literally write my music. Like, I write and then I go to the studio and rap to my producer. He then makes the beat. So it's like a whole process mm-hmm. that goes on before I even record. So I don't have a beat and write to the beat, because mm-hmm. I did want to be a part of bringing back storytelling.
Yes.
My goal is to do, and I said it already, but my goal in all of this is to make enough money to get a house. Like, that's my goal in life, to get a house before I die and to be able to enjoy it for a little while. So making it out the hood, there you go. You know, what do you got to do? I'm ready to get out of here. Like, what do you do to get out? And I thought about all that and just put it down in words. And as far as the video, I didn't even know that guy. I don't even know him.
Wow.
It was a friend of the videographers. And I was just like nobody, am I allowed to cuss?
You can. Yeah, it's cool.
Cause I'm trying, like, I have a terrible mouth, but I'm trying really hard to not cuss, but I know I cuss a couple times. But nobody fucks with me. Ever since I started rapping, I didn't have a big circle anyway, but people my age and what I thought were my friends thought it was a joke, and that offended me, because as my friend, you should take me serious and you should support me regardless. I don't care if I'm picking nose for a living. You need to support me because I support you in whatever you do.
100%. I totally agree with everything you're saying on that note. Trust me, I totally get it.
Yeah. So that's just when I realized I don't have friends. And then when a song, when I'd put a song out, I'd be like, oh, y'all want to hear my song? Not y'all, but individually, you want to hear my song?
Yeah, yeah.
And you can see on their face, bro, I don't want to hear that shit.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it. Like,
oh, absolutely. Trust me, I know.
I have that embedded in my mind now. So I kind of like just backed off. I don't have no friends. I don't have no supporters. All my supporters are people I don't know. I don't have family, obviously, because my mama gave me away, so I don't have nobody. And I don't forgot the damn question.
No, it was actually more or less like talk about the process of the video, right?
So I asked dude, the videographer, hey, do you know anybody that'll be in the video? You got any friends that might want to be in the video? Because I know I'm popping, and I say that humbly, but I know I'm popping. Maybe somebody just want to be in it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He was like, I can ask. And so he asked a few friends, a couple of them, he, you know, wanted to be in it. One of them ended up couldn't be in it because his baby mama went to the store and he was stuck babysitting by the time I got to the house or whatever.
Right.
And dude, the light-skinned dude just happened to be ready. Like, he just went up, we just did it. You know, there was no real thought behind it. I knew I wanted that scene in my head. So when I'm writing, I see everything. You know, just like I have a song now that's coming out on the 17th, I think. 17th or the 19th. And I totally see that being filmed in a club. It's a club vibe or a cookout or a pool party. It could be any of those elements. I see the whole thing, man. But I don't have any of those options to shoot it. So it's like, what do I do? Do I just not shoot one? You know, like, what do you do? So in that video, I just saw everything that the way it went down. So
it's funny you say
that. I needed someone there, though.
Right.
I needed that.
Man, it's crazy because I'm the same way. When I write, I'm already envisioning a music video.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And that's the best way to convey a message, because when you have the visual already in mind, it just makes the writing that much easier, because you're writing from the standpoint of,
like, I got a movie see in your head.
Exactly. It is no different. It's really no different than writing a movie, because you're writing scenes. I'm an actor too. You're writing scenes and you're saying, okay, I want this filmed in such and such club or whatever. Or I want this scene in the back of an alley or something like that.
Yep.
Cause you're setting the scene. You're setting the mode of the scene. So there's no different than writing music. And I'm glad you said that on this interview, because the art of storytelling.
Absolutely.
That you said before. And that's so, so important, because you could throw a bunch of things up on the wall till it sticks. But if you have the mindset from a creative standpoint of knowing what you want when you're writing music, everything else turns to gold. So that's huge. I'm really glad you said that today. You have a lot of songs in your catalog. And you've been doing this for 3 years. I had an opportunity to look through on Apple Music. And guys, by the way, like I said, if you haven't done so already, make sure that you look up your fave Grammy on all streaming platforms. I don't care if it's Apple Music, Spotify, Tidal, Amazon Music, whatever it is, make sure that you're following her on there, because anytime she has some stuff dropping, trust me, you're going to get it right away.
Every month. But drop a song every month.
That is awesome. That is awesome. 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 Any future collaborations you have that are in the works that you can't talk about? And the second part of the question is, what mainstream artists out there that you would love to collaborate with in the future?
Yeah. So the mainstream artists. So when we're going back to Make It Out of the Hood, that's my That's my hit right there.
It's your anthem. That's right. The anthem.
And it's so funny because people know the lyrics. Wheeling and dealing. Oh, people come into my inbox sometimes and all they say is wheeling and dealing. That's all they say. It's so funny. What was the question again? Sorry.
No, it's cool. Just mainly collaborations. Are there, some that you could talk about that's in the works, or, and the second part is, what mainstream artists would you like to collab with?
So Scarlett, I would love for her to feature on Making It Out in the Hood. Yeah, I just feel like she's turning a little bit now, but initially she was that raw street girl. That was me. You know what I mean? And she was in foster care and she gets it. So I think she would tear this up, you know, and I've hit her up, you know, we follow one another on Instagram and I've hit her up. She didn't really respond to it. And I know that the label she signed, so
yeah,
control over all that. So it is what it is, but that would be who I would really want to remake this song. Well, not remake it, but feature on it.
Right.
A remix. I have done actually the craziest shit. I have done about 6 or 7 features. And a few of them are bangers. Like, but shit, just people are just weird, bro. Like, some of them haven't put it out. There's I don't know if there's 2 out. Another person, and I don't even care I say this shit because, you know, I'm real and this real is real. And but somebody else paid me, you know, what they were supposed to pay me for the verse. And I asked for half up front. Then I go in the studio, I put down the verse, and then I call them and I'd be like, here's the verse, let them hear it. Cause I will allow one revision if they hear something they ain't really like.
For sure.
Dude was like loving the song, man. And I was too, like it was lit. And then he was faking like he sent me the rest of the money and he never sent it. And so he never got the song. So why would you even give me $200 or $300 and then not finish paying me for the song? Like, you just gave me some money? Like, what is wrong with you? So, you know, it happens. I don't know. People are weird. I don't know why they did that. I think some people, and I'm gonna put this out there now, thank you for this platform, I'm not as slow as y'all think I am. Like, I'm nowhere near slow, people. Don't think because I'm a granny and that's my name and I'm older that I'm really like a granny, because I'm not. I'm different. I'm from the streets. I'm not slow. I know what's going on. So y'all got to try that shit with somebody else.
But you heard that right here on the D-Loop podcast.
I am not playing an ego. They be like, I'm not. I be like, God damn, people, I'm not slow.
Right, right.
You know, and it's insulting that you think I'm slow because I'm old. No, I don't. You look at me. I mean, look at me, like everything I'm doing. I don't feel like I'm almost 60. I don't feel like I look like I'm almost 60. I probably ain't far from it, but you know.
But you're not. But listen, you're not old. You're not old. You know what I mean? It's all a mindset. Listen, I'll be 46. I'll be 46 at the end of the year.
Okay.
And I don't let that, you know.
Are you a Capricorn?
No, I'm a Scorpio. Oh.
Okay. November.
Yeah. So, but I mean, I don't let my age, you know, dictate to me or to, you know, as far as the direct.
Absolutely.
No, I do what I want to do. You know what I mean? Because I have the power to make my own decisions,
right?
In the direction that I want to go in, not what society says.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to do it. Almost 46 years old. I think it's a trash, you know, thought process to even have, because you're going to hold, you're going to be stagnant for the rest of your life if people have that mindset. So I'm glad you made that apparent today.
And let me just add to that, because fuck what society thinks. you should be doing at whatever age you are. That's why people end up dying before their time, because they stop living because society says at 65, you should be retired, sitting in the house cooking and just waiting for your damn day of death.
Man, that's good.
The way they have it set. People hit me up sometimes in comments and be like, you too old for this. What the fuck are you saying, people? You and your mama too old for this. How about that?
Right. I've actually had some friends of mine that has said, don't you think you're too old to be doing all of this stuff that you're doing? And I'm just like, I very politely told that individual, I'm like, well, I said, it's not my fault that you're just stagnant, just doing absolutely zilch. Haters. You know what I mean? And unfortunately, that's it. But to your point you made early in the interview, when you said how your friends were laughing at, oh, she's just doing that rap thing or whatever. But I guarantee you, when you win a Grammy, when you win a VMA, when you win an American Music Award, when you win a Billboard Music Award, when you win an iHeart, when you're nominated for all of these things, that's when the phones are going to be ringing. Oh my God, man. I remember I grew up. Blah, blah, blah. No.
I'll be right there on stage. Get with who? Myself.
Right.
By myself. I don't have a team. That's the other thing. People think I got like a whole team. People think I got a ghostwriter. I write my own shit off life experience. Life experience.
That's the best way.
I've lived almost 60 years. I got shit to say.
There it is. Well, before we get out of here, and again, I thank you so much for giving us your time. I appreciate it. If you can give everyone where they can find you on all of your social media platforms, YouTube, website, everything you could possibly think of where you are seen and present.
All right. So your fave granny, I'm going to spell it for you. Are you going to put the name up?
So yes, I will.
All right. Absolutely. So URFAV. GRANNIE, and I'm gonna make it easy for y'all. Your fave granny everywhere. So just Google my name, everything will come up. Or put it in individually wherever you want to put it in it, and I'll pop up. Your favorite.
Perfect. Awesome. And you said you have another record coming out. You said you have one coming out every month. So tell us about the next one that is coming out.
So like I said, it's called Getting Money. And it's like a cookout. It's a summer song, cookout, it's just about, you want to hear it? Look, I don't know. I don't think you can hear it. Actually, I tried this before and I can try. Hold on. Let me see. You just tell me if you can hear it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear it?
Yeah. Loud and clear.
Oh, okay. I'll play a little bit.
You explained that perfectly, because that's a song you would hear at the club, at a party, at a cookout, or whatever the case. So that is you. So, ladies and gentlemen, again, this is why I urge you to, again, when you see your fave granny on all streaming platforms, hit that follow button. So, like I said, you're going to get all new, you know, music from her once a month. You'll be getting all new music from her.
These are all new songs.
Like, yeah, I'm looking for those that are looking at it.
I got another stack right here.
Yeah, for those that are watching on the video version of this on YouTube, it's a lot of material there. So, like I said, for one artist to another, you know, I thank you very, very much for coming on to the D-Loop podcast. You have my 100% support in all you're doing from here on out. You're going to do some incredible things. Keep doing what you're doing. And definitely the sky's the limit.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Well, that does it for this week's edition of the D-Loop Podcast. Again, I want to thank your fave granny for taking the time out of her extremely busy schedule to come on the show, tell her story, her journey in the entertainment industry, and I wish her all the best in what she continues to do. Hit that subscribe button on all the platforms that you're listening to this on. So Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Hit subscribe so you can get all new content when it comes to you. All right. My social media, again, for the D-Loop Podcast social media, again, it's at the D-Loop Podcast on Instagram and X, formerly known as Twitter. And if you do a search engine on Facebook, just hit up the D-Loop Podcast and it'll appear, and just hit the like and follow button. My social media actually is at The Real DT Lou on all platforms, with the exception of Facebook, which is Derek T. Lewis official page. You can go to my store. Again, it's my actual store itself for Derek T. Lewis brand is shop.derektlewis.com. And for my wrestling t-shirts and merchandise and things of that nature, you can go to my pro wrestling tee store at pwt.com. Well, I'm going to get out of here. And as I always say, no matter what it is you do in life, always remember to make it count. See you next time.
NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.